You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 28th, 2020, President Trump stating, "I want to see the Justice Department investigate the death of George Floyd, the black man who died in police custody in Minneapolis. The video of a white police officer with his knee on the neck of George Floyd as he's already handcuffed, face down, not any threat, and the officer continued to hold him like that, even though George Floyd repeatedly said, I can't breathe, my stomach hurts, I need water. And the officer did nothing, held him like that for 6+ minutes until he went unconscious and then later died. So the president says, I want a full investigation by the Justice Department. And the Justice Department coming out today saying it's going to make that investigation a top priority. A top priority, sending in the FBI to create a robust investigation as to why it went down like it did. The officers have been suspended from the police department, but they have not been charged at last check. And, of course, that opened the door for rioting last night in Minneapolis and elsewhere across the nation. In Minneapolis, they were in the streets, not just protesting, but at the same time getting violent, setting fires, vandalizing, breaking into stores, and stealing whatever they chose, color TVs or whatever else was of interest, using the death of George Floyd as an excuse to riot. There is no justification. In Los Angeles, I saw the same thing, all in response over George Floyd's death. So we are now at 100,400 plus deaths in the U.S. from coronavirus. At least they're labeled that. I'll remind you again, we don't know for a fact that all of those listed as deaths due to COVID were actually COVID. We don't know that. They were so careless in the beginning, they were just kind of putting it on the name of anyone that seemed to die around that time. Well, it must be COVID. But either way, the president's acknowledging today that it's a very sad milestone. To all the families and friends of those who have passed, I want to extend my heartfelt sympathy and love for everything that those great people stood for and represent. God be with you. The left doesn't like his remarks because he didn't say, and I'm to blame. But there is a CNN analysis that tries to draw all the allusions that Trump is to blame and we would not have as many dead if he'd done something else. I'll spend a little bit more time on that later in this hour. In the meantime, the CDC is putting out, according to its stats and the Census Bureau, anxiety and depression rates are up. They're up. 8% of adults reporting symptoms of an anxiety disorder, 6.5% showing depression, all linked to COVID-19 and or the job situation. The latest numbers now show we have 40 million unemployed in this nation. Open up the country. Well, the Washington, D.C. mayor is stepping forward finally saying, I'm going to start opening up some of my city, a phased reopening that will start tomorrow. Dateline, Florida. What do you do with sea turtle legs? Well, you're not supposed to pick them up and take them, but two men were arrested doing so, finding them on the beach, and these guys have both been arrested in pre-cases years doing the same thing. Why? Well, some say the turtle legs might be sold for consumption, I mean to eat. Some maybe just something to show around. And those eating it think they might be an aphrodisiac, so yeah, they expect to get some money. So a family in another part of Florida is vacationing, and they see a gator in a lake nearby. Oh, that's kind of cute. The next day, their 14-year-old daughter goes out to the pool at their place, and there had been a big alligator float in the pool. Daddy, Daddy, come see this. A real alligator, about 9 feet, is now on top of the alligator float. Now, did he think, this is a female alligator, and I'm going to have a little whoopee? Well, the bottom line is, he got to sit there and float around in the pool on top of the other alligator float until somebody could get there and get him out of the pool. And just when you thought it was safe to go into the water.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years' experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
For 5 minutes. When you hear someone calling for help, you are supposed to help. This officer failed in the most basic human sense.
That is the Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Frey, his remarks yesterday after what happened in his city when a police officer was videotaped holding a black man on the ground, the white officer. He's got the man on the ground, his hands are handcuffed behind him. And the officer has his knee in the back of the neck of the man on the ground. While the man continues to say, best he can, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, my stomach hurts, I need water, I can't breathe. The officer did nothing to ease up, nothing, didn't change, adjust, nothing. Kept looking around, I don't know, looking at the crowd, expecting that somebody was going to come over and try to cause trouble. I don't know what was going through his head at the time. But the man on the ground at that time was clearly restrained. Standard police practice. When you've got someone restrained, you don't continue. You've got them under control. You don't need to do anything else. If you think he's going to get more violent, then you do need to be more aware. But the guy's on his face, down on the ground, with your knee in his back of his neck. He's handcuffed behind. And there are other officers around, three other officers. And not one of the other officers apparently said anything to that officer, said, hey, I don't think he can breathe. You need to, not one of them. Not, and they're all white. And that's the optic that catches fire. Because so many want to say, see, it's black men in particular targeted by white police officers. They were originally called to the location because a report of a man trying to maybe pull off some kind of fraud. That story's kind of gotten lost in the whole story reason. But when they get there, they find George Floyd and another man in a car. They ask them to get out of the car. They get out. George Floyd, not interested in getting out. He's a driver, but he does. They walk him over to the sidewalk, put him up against a building, sit him down while they continue checking on things, and they go to get him and walk him to a police car. That would be the intent. There is no video showing that I've seen what happens from the time they help him get up off the sidewalk and start walking to the police car. The next scene shows him face down with the officer's knee in the back of his neck. I don't know what happened during that scenario. I don't know if he suddenly started resisting and fighting. I don't know. But at the time you see it, he's down on the ground. He is fully restrained. And there are three other officers available. They didn't mace him. They didn't tase him. They were just going through that. Now, why they didn't just put him in the car, I still don't know. So I'm not going to make excuses for these officers. I have a lot of questions. And now Mayor Fry also does. In fact, he was upset yesterday, demanding that the officer holding his knee on Floyd's neck be arrested, and called for the county attorney to act on the evidence before him. So far, at last check, no charges filed on anyone. And the mayor is asking, I wrestled with more than anything else over the last 36 hours, one fundamental question: why is the man who killed Floyd, George Floyd, I should say, not in jail? If you had done it or I'd done it, we should be behind bars right now. I think we all accept that. I do. I agree with it based on what I see. Now, I'm not in position to know all the facts. I don't like second-judging police officers, second-guessing them. But based on what I see in front of me, the officer was out of line. He got a situation that he's got under control, and he continues to go beyond what he needed to. But that fuels and gives a call to those who want to look for an excuse to riot. And I don't mean just get in the streets and shout at police and protesting, basically peaceful, maybe getting a little loud, but no, go full-bore riot. Yesterday I said it hadn't happened yet and hopefully it wouldn't, but at the time I feared it might, but I didn't want to throw that out early. You start calling something a riot, that's a situation that's out of control. And that's what happened last night until early morning hours. Storefront windows being smashed, fires being set, cars being set on fire, and police not able to really do much to stop it at that point. The mayor now says we need to bring in the National Guard, asked the governor to do so. And one man was killed. And it appears that he was killed by a store owner trying to defend his shop from being vandalized or burglarized. Video is everywhere showing dozens, as one story says, dozens of apparent looters stealing teeth. They're not apparent looters. They are looters when you see them. They're not allegedly looting. They're not apparently looting. They are looting. You watch them bring stuff out, they're looting. Stealing TVs and also groceries and whatever they chose. I have a listener that sent me an email. Diane, one of our loyal listeners, said, was watching the protests looting in Minneapolis. So sad. What saddens me is, yes, they have the right to protest, but peacefully. This does not include looting local businesses. I watched hundreds of young people take out stacks of large TVs, cameras, clothing, anything they can carry. Please tell me, what does that have to do with the George Floyd death? These businesses did nothing wrong. She's absolutely right. And then she hesitates to make the next statement. But you can't ignore it. You can't ignore facts any more than you can this fact she's suggesting, then you can ignore the fact that the man on the ground is black, the officer holding him down is white. It's right there in front of your eyes. So she adds this remark: yes, I am white, but I'm not racist. When watching this happen, it was 98% African-American young people looting. Now, her speculation, 98%, could be off, but yes, the majority were young African-Americans carrying out the looting. Because they were using the death of another black man as an excuse. But they get support from people like rapper Cardi B, who says, breaking into the stores, looting them. She said these folks were left no choice, her words, no choice, but to resort to violence and steal from stores. Well, they had plenty of choices. Rioting, arson, vandalism, looting are not among the choices that they should exercise. But again, they've got a rapper encouraging them, saying, yeah, they got an excuse. They don't have an excuse. There is no such excuse for that event, period. Never. For anyone who wanted to have a peaceful protest, if you're not careful, it gets hijacked by thugs. We saw it happen in the Ferguson case after the death of Michael Brown. You had people in the streets protesting, using their First Amendment rights, making their points heard and stated. But when nightfall came, as they continued protesting, well, then it turned ugly. It turned ugly because the thugs coming out of the shadows, using the dark as cover, coming out, creating chaos, arson, looting. There is no justification for it. George Floyd's brother, in talking yesterday, talked about how all of this was tough on his family, and I'm talking about the death of his brother, and you have to sympathize with him. You have to sympathize, especially the way this went down. Here's the statement by George Floyd's brother.
He screamed, "Mama, mama, I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And they didn't care. They treated him worse than they treat animals, and I wouldn't treat animals like that. They took a life, now they deserve life. I don't feel sorry for them. They hurt me and they hurt my family.
And of course, there are those who say, again, see, for what they did, we need to get it in the streets, make noise. No, you really shouldn't. Not in the streets where you become violent, go rushing into looting and so forth. And haven't we learned and seen what happens in neighborhoods and areas where something like that takes place? It takes forever for a community to begin to recover. And the businesses, unless they're big chain stores, they suffer. They may already have been suffering because of the closures and the virus running around. They were already suffering in their business. And if they happen to be open, now they're either burned out or they've had their equipment stolen. That still doesn't justify going into a place like Target or Walmart and stealing TVs. There is no justification. There's nothing you can say that's going to tell me, yeah, it's okay, because a black man died at the hands of white police officers. Even if it is absolutely proven totally that the officer was wrong. I think he was wrong, but I don't know what happened in that little exchange up to that point. All I know is for the time he apparently had his knee on the back of the man on the ground, the suspect at that point is restrained. You don't need to continue as he was doing, the officer. And I don't know why the other officers didn't speak up. Is it part of the code? If it is, guys, you need to change that damn code. You're for law and order and to serve the public, not to encourage or allow a fellow officer to carry out something like that. I know from officers I've talked to that when they see something go wrong, if they end up making a complaint or report about it, even if they try to be anonymous, sometimes the word gets back that they're the one who made the complaint, and the other officers suddenly begin to shun them. And they say, I have to fear that if I go out on the street, are they going to have my back the next time? Or are they going to kind of let things happen because of what I did that got them in trouble? And some have even ended up, I've had officers tell me I had to leave the particular force I was on. I loved it and everything else, but I had to leave because I couldn't operate there. And then, unfortunately for some of them, even though they go to another police department, the storyline that you got internal affairs or the legal department or even charges against another officer follows them. And officers of that new operation, they're not keen on working with him or her. Again, I'm very pro-law enforcement. I had for, I don't know, three or four different times addressed academy graduates as they came out. And I praise them for willing to stand the line between us and the criminal element. But also to remind them, your job's not just to protect, but to serve. And when you protect and serve, that means for the community as a whole, not just the police department and fellow officers. Your obligation is to the law first and the community you serve. We'll have to wait and see exactly how justice goes down on this. But again, there is no reason to endorse, much less encourage, rioting, looting, arson. None. None. If I made myself clear, let me state it again. None. Zero. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, one thing the pandemic has done in this nation is give the left an opportunity to restructure and recreate the U.S. of A. Make it closer to the USSR of old. Coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, the latest numbers show how desperate our nation is right now with all the shutdowns and folks losing their jobs, businesses closing down, and some will never reopen. We now have 40 million Americans out of work. 40 million. 40 million. That's a rate of unemployment unseen since the Great Depression. And here comes the left, looking for an opportunity to capitalize on your suffering. If they had their way, everything would be shut down and closed down and all the way up to November. So they'd be punishing you, and you'd be suffering because maybe then you'd decide, I can't vote for Trump. Look what kind of mess we're in, as if he's responsible for the virus. And the left thinks he is. I'm going to get into that more detail in the next segment. But for right now, they're using it, they're weaponizing it. Let me put it that way. They're weaponizing this virus, this pandemic, and the way it's hitting our nation, as an opportunity to remake America. Look at the way they're trying to get things passed. The latest Pelosi package, a $3 trillion, 1,800-page leftist agenda, which they call the Heroes Act, because putting a nice name on it might make you buy into it. It is a wish list. And it is, again, an opportunity to remake America during this time. And Nancy Pelosi, at a press conference, had no problem admitting that. She flat out admitted this is a crisis and that every crisis is an opportunity to advance a leftist agenda.
We need to do more. They need to do more. So my interest is with the message to American people, send the Republicans in the Senate, that we cannot take a pause. We have to end the death, the dying. We have to open the economy. We have to do so in a way that gives more opportunity for access to care, to credit, to opportunity in our country, because as Mr. Clyburn said, this is an opportunity. Every crisis is.
She's referring to U.S. House Majority Whip James Clyburn, Democrat, South Carolina, when he said, this is a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision. In effect, echoing prior comments by Rahm Emanuel, former mayor of Chicago and former Obama chief of staff, saying, never let a crisis go to waste. Politico writes this. Privately, several House Democrats concede their latest bill feels little more than an effort to appease the most liberal members of the caucus, many of whom were shaped that their most important priorities were minimized or ignored entirely in previous coronavirus negotiations. So even many House Democrats say, this is not good for us. You're trying to shove a dream, our dream of recreating the nation, into your package here, and it's not going to fly. We don't like it. But Pelosi says, every crisis is an opportunity to advance our agenda. And that's what they're doing. We'll take a break. When we come back, how CNN, in one of its analysis, paints Donald Trump as a reason for the epidemic, pandemic.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we were talking in the last segment how the left is using the virus as an opportunity to reshape America and get their agenda across. One of the agendas of the left is open borders. We don't need borders. Let folks come and go as they want. No crime against doing that. Let them just wander across, wander back. We don't care. Now, with the virus spreading around the world, do you still think that's a good idea to not have borders so you can shut them down in such a case? Mexico, the latest word out of Mexico, this report coming stating that, again, Mexico broke deaths for records for deaths and new cases registered in just one day, reporting 8,000-plus fatalities, 74,000 confirmed cases. In one day, they had 501 new fatalities, 3,400 new cases. Now, if citizens from Mexico are walking across our border carrying the virus, is that a good idea? Should we not have a border and protect it? No, the left doesn't care. The left thinks that's not an issue. Even Bernie Sanders was asked at one point, would you shut the borders to keep folks coming in with the virus? Nope, I wouldn't. What kind of thinking is that? It's leftist thinking is what it is. They just don't care other than their agenda. And their agenda is to remake the USA. So we hit the 100,000 plus mark yesterday. 100,440 deaths at last check. And the mainstream media and the leftists was planning on making a big noise out of that, a big noise. They had to kind of put it aside because of what's happening in Minneapolis. They'll still use it. They're still trying to weaponize it. And President Trump acknowledged it. He said it's a very sad milestone. In the meantime, the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention suggests that the true fatality rate in our nation is 0.26%. 0.26%. That's 8 to 15 times lower than the earlier mortality rate estimates of 2 to 4%, which prompted all the lockdown. I'm looking at some of this data, and it's very hard to communicate this over the air when you can't see it, but I'll do my best to keep the number simple. The CDC attempting to offer a real estimate of the overall death rate, and under its most likely scenario, the death rate in the U.S. is 0.2%. 26%, 0.26. The original 0.4% was indicating we would have massive deaths. Multiple studies from Europe, Japan, U.S. all suggested it would be way over now. Now it shows the overall fatality rate is far lower than early estimates. So we shut the country down for false numbers. I'm not saying we didn't have to take some action, but we've gone too far, and it's time to move past it. But as far as the left is concerned, you can still blame Trump for it. Here we go. Here's a piece by Stephen Collinson for CNN. The title tells you everything about the angle and direction. If you're expecting an unbiased report, analysis, the title tells you immediately. They didn't, here's the way it reads. They didn't all have to die. A moment of reflection as U.S. COVID deaths reach 100,000. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, his piece was written before we hit the 100,000 mark. He wrote it out, had it ready to go, and as soon as we hit 100,000, boom, put it out. He didn't just do this overnight. I would guarantee you he's had it ready and anxious to use it. Hit the 100,000 mark so I can write this article and release it, rather. Well, we did. Unfortunately, we passed into six figures late yesterday afternoon. And the opening line again of his piece is reflective of the headline. The first tragedy of America's bleak coronavirus milestone is that 100,000 people didn't have to die. Now, the headline said they didn't all have to die. Now he's saying that the tragedy is that 100,000 didn't have to die. So all of them could have been saved? Second line, the second is that no one knows how many more will perish before the pandemic fades. That's the first accurate thing he stated. We don't know how many more will pass. Now, if he's looking at the CDC numbers I just read you, he's got to acknowledge it's not going to be anywhere near what we expected. That does not mean that any life lost is not of value. Of course it is. But it does tell us that maybe we went overboard. Social distancing, mask in the beginning, for maybe that's a good idea in the beginning, but then you think a year from now you're still going to be wearing masks, you can't go into bars and yet sit in groups of four? I don't think so. I think, I would think by the end of summer a lot of this is going to go away. We'll find out. And, of course, if it refires, they're going to say, see, you couldn't have opened up, shouldn't have opened up. It has, and this analysis points out, it has disproportionately infected communities of color. Black Americans representing 13.4% of the American population. Counties with higher black populations accounting for more than half of all the COVID-19 cases, almost 60% of the deaths as of mid-April. And, of course, in some cases, it's where they happen, infections at a meatpacking plant. You're going to hit more minorities and lower wage earners and white-collar workers who were in office are now been doing it at home. And, of course, the victims include those who lost their living. Like I've said, we've now hit 40 million. Oh, here's something he did not correct. He should have. I know he wrote it in advance. I'm sure he did. But he didn't bother adding this. He said the victims also include the living, the more than 30 million Americans whose livelihoods disappeared. Well, yeah, there are more than 30. In fact, there's 40 million. He could have said 38 million. That was the most recent. So kind of gives me the impression he wrote this thing several weeks ago. But here's where they get into it. A pandemic, a signature moment alongside civil war, world wars, assassinations, economic crises in the near 250-year history of the U.S. is also a political, governmental story. Politicians such as President Donald Trump want the credit when things go well, so they must carry the can when they fail. Never heard that, carry the can. You mean carry the water? Anyway, it's his choice. And he says COVID-19's assault is a once-in-a-century event. No set of detailed plans, war games, batch of epidemiological theories could have prepared the nation for every unknown challenge. Now, see, they're acknowledging nobody could be prepared for that. But they're not done. They're not done. Because he adds in, yet it's also true the U.S. has been plagued by one of the most mismanaged, certainly one of the most politically divisive coronavirus mitigation efforts in the world. Is he talking about Governor Cuomo ordering nursing homes to take COVID patients, put them into a hotbed, a culture, basically, a lab culture, just add more deaths to it? Is that what it is? No, they want to put all the blame back on Trump. And they've got plenty of folks that step up for them. You say things that they like, they'll put you on CNN. One of them was on CNN saying it didn't have to happen if we'd been prepared. This guy is a president of a think tank, Access Health International. And they get into the fact that we were not prepared. We did not have the proper PPE equipment. We did not have a lot of it. We had let a lot of this stuff come out of China for our pharmaceuticals, and we were strapped at that point. In other words, we had all of this going against us. He does know, and yes, he knows. He's hoping you don't know. Our pharmaceutical links to China had been underway long before Trump came in office, through Obama and through Bush, and the fact that we did not have enough PPE available, personal protection equipment, is because, again, Obama let them deplete, didn't bother upping the numbers, nor did Bush before him. And then they've got this report that in the New York area, 17,500 fewer would have died if the U.S. had acted 1 week earlier. Now, I guess they're basing on that look where the death started. Take that first week. Take that back a week prior to that, and those folks would still be alive at that point. And maybe if we'd done something more, it would have stopped it. That's in New York. And the governor is in charge of what's happening in his state. Yes, the president's part of it as well. But you're never going to hear them say, blue state governors and blue state politicians are also to blame. In fact, here's what they come down to on a summation. Still, the wearing a mask has become a fierce political controversy, with Trump refusing to wear one in public. And Trump's presumptive 2020 opponent, Joe Biden, called Trump a fool for taking such a position. They got an opportunity to work Joe Biden in because he'd called Trump a fool because he wouldn't wear a mask. Did they question Joe Biden as to what he and the Obama administration were doing as they let our supplies run down during previous disasters and so forth? Nope. But they get a chance to put Joe in the article saying he called Trump a fool, and of course, we all will applaud that on the left. Blackface hypocrisy when we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I guess you know, I guess you understand in today's age that if you are a white person and you put on blackface, you're mocking black Americans, and you should be chastised and criticized and ostracized. If you're on the left and you did it, we know you didn't mean anything bad. I'll give you a perfect example. The other day, Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show decided to step forward and apologize for a skit he was involved in 2000. This is 20 years ago. He said, while on SNL at that time, Saturday Night Live, I made a terrible decision to do an impersonation of Chris Rock while in blackface. He said, there's no excuse. I'm very sorry for making this unquestionably offensive decision. Jamie Foxx, black comedian, I'm sure you know, sticking up for Jimmy Fallon, saying he didn't need to make an apology. He was doing an impression. It wasn't blackface. We comedians know it's a tough time right now, but this is a stretch. In fact, he's upset that Jimmy Fallon even made an apology. The hypocrisy of blackface continues to hit us, no pun intended, in the face continuously. Howard Kurtz, the media analyst for Fox News, kind of gives you a sketch of background of those who've been involved in blackface, beginning with the Virginia governor, who got caught with prior college pictures, and he's still the Virginia governor. He's able to say, no, it was a different time. I didn't know. Here we go.
With Virginia Governor Ralph Northam and his Attorney General both refusing to resign despite having posed in blackface in the 80s, USA Today decided to examine hundreds of college yearbooks from that time. And there, in an Arizona State University yearbook, were two white men in black paint. It was edited by Nicole Carroll, who is USA Today's editor. She told readers, I am sorry for the hurt I caused back then and the hurt it will cause today. But what about the folks in the TV and entertainment world? NBC just signed Julianne Hough for America's Got Talent, although 6 years ago she used blackface to impersonate a character from Orange is the New Black. Hough later apologized, saying she hadn't meant to be disrespectful or demeaning. Ted Danson also has a show on NBC, The Good Place, but he famously used blackface in a 90s roast for his then-girlfriend Whoopi Goldberg. NBC's Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon used blackface for a skit on SNL. But when NBC's Megyn Kelly asked a question about blackface, just a question, saying it was okay when she was a kid if you were playing a character, the network used the issue to force her out in a move that really was about her disappointing ratings. ABC's Jimmy Kimmel used blackface back on The Man Show in 2000. Sarah Silverman did it on her Comedy Central show in 2007.
I look like the beautiful Queen Latifah.
But the comedian said last year, I don't stand by the blackface sketch. I'm horrified by it, and I can't erase it. And 3 years ago, The View's Joy Behar joked about having darkened her skin at a party back in 1971. Look, cultural standards obviously change over time, but people in the media and entertainment world shouldn't engage in double standards.
That's correct. But the left doesn't see it a double standard. They see it as if, well, if we do it, you know, we have a right. I'm going to tell you what this is akin to, and some folks are not going to like my analogy coming up. That black Americans can say, I can use the N-word, white people can't. I can use the N-word against anybody I want in the black community or even the white community. I can use it. And rappers continue to put it in their music all the time. And we've had other black leaders call out and say, you got to stop that. Cease and desist it. If the word is that derogatory, that hateful, and invokes all that, then don't be putting it in our music and putting it in front of our kids. But they continue doing it, and they say, they can do it, but you can't. Another case of hypocrisy. You're not going to change anything until you hold everyone accountable by the same standards. On any of the ones he just listed that were in blackface, do you remember in the minstrels before we had the blackface comedians doing skits and so forth on a continuous basis? And at that time, they were mocking blacks, clearly, and they were kind of doing a little bit of that. There's no doubt that that was the intent at that time. Nowadays, in the more recent cases that you just heard cited, it wasn't meant to mock. It was just kind of something they thought would work. Like, if you're going to pretend you'd be Chris Rock, well, you got to have blackface on. You get Joe Biden. He does not do blackface. I don't know he's done blackface, nor Hillary Clinton, but we do know they will fall into black dialect from time to time if it helps them with a black audience. Biden the other day saying, they're going to put you back in chains. Remember that speech he gave? Remember Hillary Clinton saying, I'm so tired. Again, addressing a black audience. The hypocrisy. It's not just the calling card of the left, it's their standard. And on their side, it's perfectly fair. However, for you, if you're conservative, no. You can't use that. You would be racist. Again, I appreciate you listening. Please spread the word to your friends that we're on the air. We cover a lot of material. We got a lot planned already for tomorrow. Be right here. Same time, same station. Book it. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.